Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Our very, very own personal GM is with us now.
Mike T.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. So I want to talk about Jalen Carter. But before I do, and talk about the football of it all, I just want to make it very clear that whether or not it actually trivializes what happened, that's not the intention. You know, we do a sports show, and he is a presumptive, before this, top five draft pick in the NFL. But there's been the loss of human life. Two people are dead as the result of a race that that Jalen Carter reportedly participated in. Carter faces misdemeanor counts of reckless driving and racing in the January 15th wreck that killed offensive lineman Devin Willock and recruiting staff member Chandler LaCroix. The crash occurred hours after the Bulldogs celebrated their second straight national championship with a parade and a ceremony. So the facts have not yet all come out. Jalen Carter says he'll be completely exonerated when they do. But in the meantime, two human beings have lost their lives. And so, again, not to trivialize any of this, we are looking at the football of it all. As a team, given these circumstances, Mike, you've been in NFL front offices. How are you evaluating Jalen Carter?
Yeah, first of all, that's really well said, Max. I am taking a massive pause here and have to do a thorough investigation. And, you know, fundamentally what you're trying to find out is this a really good person who had one bad decision and one bad night, or is this a pattern of behavior? And you have to figure out, you know, if he's a fit for your organization. And with that said, there's another massive complexity to things in terms of the legal process. You know, the draft is about 2 months away, and there's a really good chance that everything won't be adjudicated before then. If you're picking in the top 10 or the top half of the first round, not knowing if, you know, is this a misdemeanor? Does this come, you know, at some point become a felony? I'd be hard pressed to see a team, you know, draft him with such question marks.
Mike, take me inside the mind of a GM and the resources, right? Because I've been around team owners, I've been around general managers in basketball, and I see to what extent they do their research and how they go about getting the research. How do you guys, and what resources do you guys use to get that information on whether there's a history of this type of alleged behavior of a guy like Jalen Carter?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first of all, you know, you have security, you have league security, you have team security, but more fundamentally, like, Jay, well, one of the big things I believe in life is who you are is how you treat people that can't help you, the waiter, the waitress, you know, the support staff, and you're going to be talking to people all around the University of Georgia, you know, teammates, professors, academic support, and you really want to find out, like, you know, we've all made mistakes in life, and certainly, you know, Jalen Carter has as well, and you just, again, want to see is, like, is this something that was just a bump in the road that had, unfortunately, you know, two, you know, people who passed away, or is this somebody that has, you know, more of a problem? And, you know, you have to answer that question with certainty, you know, before you make a decision.
If you're Ryan Poles and you're the Bears, how are you approaching the draft right now?
I'm taking Bryce Young. You know, that I've said that, you know, more than once. You know, I think he's clearly going to be the better quarterback than Justin Fields long term. And, you know, if they do want to keep Justin Fields, this is going to be something that's probably going to limit their options. Now, look, we got a long way to go. You know, there's Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech and certainly some other really good defensive players. But, you know, to me, when you look at two with Houston, four with Indy, they're certainly going to be interested in, you know, taking a quarterback. Arizona presumably is going to take a defensive player. So this would probably, you know, limit their flexibility.
Mike, how much of taking Bryce Young is you get the job and now you want to hand select your player, right? You want to start with a clean slate, rookie clock starting at 0-0, you know, zero, and you want to make the most important decision a franchise can make once the front office is in place and the coaching staff is in place is the quarterback. How much of it is that reset and how much of it is you just think Bryce Young is going to be that much better than Justin Fields?
Yeah, the object of the exercise is to win as many professional football games as possible. I don't care how they got there, but you want to get the best player you can. And to me, Bryce Young, I like Justin Fields a lot. This is not against Justin Fields. I just think Bryce Young has a chance to be spectacular. So,
That means Justin Fields does not, in your opinion, right, have a chance to be spectacular or not as good a chance?
I think that's right. I think Justin Fields has a chance to be really good. I'm concerned by his turnover proclivities. He has 140 sacks, turnovers, and interceptions in 2 years, only playing 27 out of 34 games. Bryce Young is small. There's definitely concerns about him as well. But over time, to me, the better quarterback is going to be Bryce Young. Again, taking nothing away from Justin Fields, but when you watch Bryce play at Alabama, he's just somebody that, I think has more long-term upside.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Mike T., hearing a lot of talk from other camps, other teams about the lack of compensation that they're willing to give up to the Bears for the first pick in the draft. Do you think that has – how is Ryan Pohl and company handling that decision, kind of playing that game of, if somebody blows us away, we'll take the top guy, but still trying to create leverage with that first pick in the draft?
Yeah, I think what Ryan Pohl is saying is, please, come on up. We are open for business. So, we got a long ways to go. A lot of late-night conversations happen here in Indy. And I think what Ryan Poles is doing is, really responsible, which is saying like, hey, we're going to weigh all our options. And, it's a really interesting year because, when you talk to a bunch of teams, like some are going to like Will Levis a little bit more. Some teams are really high on Anthony Richardson out of Florida. So I do think the Bears are going to have options, including, most importantly, guys, like their evaluation of Justin Fields.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers a bunch, Mike, and it seems my interpretation of what he's talking about is that he still thinks he can play football at a high level. It sounds like he wants to play football. It did not sound like he was going to play football for the Packers. What's your feelings?
Yeah, I agree. I think, especially, being out here in Indy, like I think a lot of people think that quarterback for the Packers next year can be Jordan Love, and the time has run, and he's had a magical career, but the time has come. So we'll see. But I read it the same way. I think he wants to play, but I'm not so sure. Look, if he wanted to be a Packer, he could just say, look, I signed a 3-year deal a year ago, and I'm going to honor my contract, and that would be that. But by him not saying that, to me, that spoke volumes.
Mike, Chris Canty was on the show yesterday, and we were talking about what you get for Aaron Rodgers. And he said you do not get 2 ones anymore for Aaron Rodgers. And that really affects my calculation in terms of, like, who I'd want. Like, if I were the Dolphins or the Jets, let's see what happens with Tua. But if I was a quarterback needy team and I looked around, I would think, wait, if I have to give up all this stuff, I'd rather get Lamar. He's so much younger. Or maybe Derek Carr. I don't have to give up anything except the cash and not even as much cash. But Aaron Rodgers, if he's for less than 2 ones, all of a sudden you don't have the same financial commitment over the same number of years. He's probably playing capable of playing at the highest level. He goes back to number one for me. What do you think is compensation likely for Aaron Rodgers in terms of draft capital and a trade?
Well, first of all, guys, there's a clear history in the NFL that you can get 2 ones basically for anybody. I mean, it's really not that hard.
I can't with you.
Mike Tannenbaum famously traded Keyshawn Johnson and got 2 ones. And Key likes to remind Mike that he then won the Super Bowl to the team that Mike traded him to. So that sounds like you do think you get at least 2 ones for Aaron Rodgers.
No, I think a first round pick. He's 40 years old and declining. So to me, a first round pick is much more appropriate, for the situation. And
is declining, Mike? You're saying he is declining.
He is declining. If you look at how he played, he is, he's not the same guy.
Because he points player, out.
But wait, Mike, you can't make the case that the guy breaking his hand, playing through that injury, having the down year. I mean, do you automatically say like he's now in full decline because of one season that was a little bit up in the air?
Yeah, no, look, those are all fair points. And look, there's a supply and demand issue. I mean, you could always go out and sign Dan Orlovsky and take him off of ESPN. He just happens to be standing next to me here. But no, in all seriousness, the reason I think it's a first-round pick is, again, you're only going to have him for a year or two, and there's just not a lot of options. But if I'm Green Bay and I'm going with Jordan Love, I want to get the most I can get and then get closure.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Just Jay and me today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike, I want to get back to Rodgers' in decline because one of the things I loved about his comments yesterday, I love when a guy comes out and says, the athlete comes out and says, and this is what happened. And his interpretation of his journey is exactly, at least what I thought watching it, right? And what others thought too. LaFleur comes in, installs a new offense. He has to figure it out. So he's sort of a game manager. He can't really show you what he can do. Wins 13 games, but doesn't look the same. Hey, is he the same? The team hedges and drafts his replacement. Rodgers had that same interpretation. He said he didn't know at the time. Maybe I am in decline, right? But then what he found out was, no, I got used to it. I won back-to-back MVPs. That experience seems to have informed him, according to Rodgers, that he can still play at that same high level and that this was a result of circumstances this year, new receivers, a loss of players, injury, etc., and that so it looked different than it actually is for him. Do you put any weight? Does that carry any weight for you that that's Rodgers' interpretation of what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit water under the bridge. I think we were all surprised by the fact that, like, he's still referencing that Jordan Love was drafted there. Like, that's 100 years ago in the NFL world. So I'm really surprised some of the things he said. He should be much more about, you know, the future, and they got some great young skill players, and they should try and move forward together. The fact that he's referencing a lot of those things to me, Max, was really surprising.
Interesting. Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together. You can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So we know that Mike Tannenbaum is high on Bryce Young, and Keyshawn may say he's just high when he talks about Bryce Young. But will Bears GM Ryan Poles stick with Justin Fields? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Well, according to Adam Schefter, the Bears are looking to move out of the number one pick.
Could be the Raiders, depending on what that reset looks like.
If a team like Las Vegas or Carolina were to offer them a ton of picks to move up, Chicago has to seriously consider that because there are so many needs on this roster.
If I'm Bryce Young, right now I'm saying hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We're right there, ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, you can call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Kevin Durant's debut for the Suns, how he scored those easy 23 points in 27 minutes, and KD himself, you know, talked about feeling a little nervous but then settling right in before the game. And Jay was talking about, you know, that's KD's comfort zone. That's his
sweet
place.
Spot.
Whatever else is going on in his life, he can take refuge on a basketball court because he belongs on one. It's very clear, right? And we all have things like that. We all have places like that in our lives where we go, yeah, I belong here. This feels right. This feels like home, right? For Jay, also the basketball court. I talked about experiences I've had, so of callers, whether it's the office, the high school football coach called, his office feels like that, helping kids. Someone else called backstage at a theater.
No, they were on the stage.
On the stage at the theater. Yeah. He felt like he was home. I talked about being at a fight, just being at a fight after a tough time in my life and hearing the crowd from the bathroom and thinking, those are my people. That's who I need to be out there with them, right?
Whatever makes you feel the most comfortable, where all that other stuff just goes away because you're locked and you're present in that moment.
Ken in North Carolina, you're on KJM.
Yeah, how are you?
What up, Ken?
What's going on, Ken?
My at-home place is when I'm working on my artwork. I've done a lot of sports artwork with Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Notre Dame, Florida State. And when I'm working, I just feel in the groove, you know.
I
have that zone.
I love that. Find that flow state, baby.
You feel? Would you say it feels like home or it feels like a refuge? Is it the same thing? Is it just, do you feel like that's what you're meant to be doing?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Like all of the above, yeah.
Every time I hear artists now, I just think about Dave Chappelle when he's painting at Oprah's house.
The stick figure.
And
he's like really taking
his, out there.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because a lot of people are talking about their occupation or their hobby where they feel that's their sweet spot, that's their refuge, and that's what feels like home, and that's what they feel like they're meant to be doing. But there are two different things. Like when I heard the roar of the crowd, Jay, at the fight, I was really grieving and suffering at the time, and I felt like I just wanted to be with them. Not that that's what I wanted to be doing. It's not like, hey, if I got behind a microphone there, I'd feel. It was that's where I felt like I wanted to be. I think sometimes those are two different things. When it's the same thing, boy, you got your calling.
But
you
also,
found your calling.
I think it can change, right? Like for me, the safe haven was always the court. Then after my accident, it didn't become the court anymore because I couldn't do what I used to do.
Right.
It's still the court for me now because now my mindset is different, that when I'm back there, I remember what I was, but I'm not trying to force myself to be that
You don't have
anymore.
To be the best in the world anymore.
Yeah,
or the 14th best or whatever you're ranked. We're going to get into that later.
Ranking, yes. we'll dig into that.
We're going to get it. All I know is this is a little preview of what's to come on the show. Could you imagine being ranked within the top 15 of all time at something that's beyond competitive, like so many millions of people have tried to do it, and you're really steamed that you're top 15?
Oh, no, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, Jay is really steamed that he's in the top 15. We're going to get into that a little later. Matt in Tennessee, you're on with KJM. What's your sweet spot, Matt?
Man, truthfully, you know, when I'm at work, I'm a career restaurant employee, and I enjoy the interaction with people. It's a lot of people look down on that industry, but it's something that I feel very at home doing. And it just like you said, it's just like, you know, being around family all the time. So that is where I'm most at home.
By the way, you're saying working at the restaurant.
Is that again?
Working at the restaurant.
By the way,
the show Cheers, there's a sitcom called Cheers. And it's a bar. And whether you're working at the bar, because the characters, as many of them worked there as were patrons of the bar, the point was you want to go where everyone knows your name, right? Like, and that felt like that was a very popular show, partly because it felt like home for people. It's just a TV show, but you turned it on, you felt like you knew the characters. You felt like, oh, this is a comfortable place.
And it's a place, I mean, when you're at a restaurant, like I'm a part owner of a restaurant. I know our chef. I know everybody from our stewardess, you know your host, you have the common people that come in, you talk to them, ask them about their families, they asking about yours. It feels like you are a part of one unit.
Great restaurant. I've never been to it.
You've been invited to the cafe.
I know. I have been invited. It's true. I want to go too. I just, you know, it just slips my mind.
You don't like hanging out with people.
You're like the prince of darkness
in the media.
I'm trying to force myself to get better about that. I'm trying to force myself to get out of. But you know, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the best sitcom I've ever seen. Well, Honeymooners, but Larry David. There's one early episode where he says, "You can't leave the house. You can't leave
the
house."
What do you mean you can't leave the house?
Like, you know, nothing ever good. You can't leave the house. I relate to that so much. I can't even tell you. You can't leave the house.
Oh, you're not a man of the people.
I am a man of the people.
See, I got to be out. Like the whole pandemic, going to game day at Duke, North Carolina. For me, that's home. Like being around people. I have to have it.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean?
You know what it is? Because in a large setting, it's like a cocktail party, it's a lot of small talk. And here's another Larry David. I have a big identification with this guy. The small talk is killer. He's at a dinner party. He goes, can we elevate this to medium talk?
Medium. What is medium talk?
You got to get into things that mean something.
Like, how are you? Do you really want to know how I am?
Is that right.
That's more medium talk.
No, that's more interesting than the pleasantries.
Well,
yes.
Maybe you just find interesting people throughout all these sprinkles of, you know, soft talk.
What's interesting about the small talk? You'll never know if they're interesting through small talk. By the way, Mike Tannenbaum was on this very program just moments ago and said the following about Justin Fields, Jay.
I just think Bryce Young has a chance to be spectacular. You know, I think he's clearly going to be the better quarterback than Justin Fields long term. Justin Fields has a chance to be really good. You know, I'm concerned by his turnover proclivities. He has 140 sacks, turnovers, and interceptions in 2 years, only playing 27 out of 34 games. Bryce Young is small. You know, there's definitely concerns about him as well. But over time, you know, to me, the better quarterback is going to be Bryce Young.
You see, when And Mike T's my boy. I would say this to Mike T on the show. Whenever I start hearing people speak in absolutes, I start getting a little bit worried, right? Mm-hmm. He's clearly going to be a better quarterback. No. Like, that's your – I understand that's your opinion, but that's not a fact.
But
you don't clearly know that Bryce Young is going to be better than Justin Fields long term.
I think in that case, as a talent evaluator, which is a big part of the role of a GM, right? Because really the role of a GM in a hard cap league, you better properly price commodities. The commodities are the players. You better properly price them, right? And so what he's saying is, as a talent evaluator, he looks at Bryce Young, and what he's saying is it's decisive for him. Like, you're right. There's no way to know until Bryce Young plays in the league. But what he's saying is, on his big board, he'd say decisively.
But it's not decisive, because then he just went through concerns about his size and his weight.
Well, there are
like, there's serious concerns about that.
Yes.
Even if he were to put on an extra 10, 15 pounds, like, he's still going to be 5'11". That's I mean, what are we talking about, Drew Brees? But the way
nothing
he gets out of the
5'11",
pocket
5'11",
runs.
5'11",
is great. I'm just saying, if you give up Justin Fields, if you're Ryan Poles, and you miss on Bryce Young, and Justin Fields goes somewhere else
there's
and
your
destroys
job.
The game, you're done.
Speaking Tuesday from the NFL Scouting Combine, that very same Ryan Poles said the plan is for Fields to be the starter in 2023, but the club will do its due diligence on the incoming rookie class. Here's the quote. That's the plan right now. This is what Poles told reporters Tuesday, 2 days ago. Like I said, we're going to do our homework on this class, and if something changes, and again, I'll just use the same statement, we have to be blown away to say, you know, I think this is best for our organization. So, yeah, for Mike T, he's blown away by Bryce Young. I think that's how I interpret what he has to say. By the way, Jay, we have a guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, very famous basketball coach coming up at 9:30 a.m. named Mike Krzyzewski. And I am...
Do you know how to spell Krzyzewski? Don't look at the board. No question. Don't you look
K-R-Z
at the board. You're the worst.
Y-Z-E-W-S-K-I.
You still messed up. You still messed
looking
up.
Looking right
K-R-Z-Y-Z-E-W-S-K-I.
Literally
looking you're looking right at it. You still can't
name.
Spell it.
I can't do it.
The screen's right in front of you.
This is, I have a problem, like a missing piece in my brain when it comes to names. And now I know how the rest of you must feel when it comes to thinking about ideas. Is this what it feels like?
So you can't be super genius.
Pronouncing names, is that what it feels like to the rest of you humans when you try to think about ideas?
I'm disqualifying you from super genius.
Damn. Got bust down to regular genius. Hey, Duke is at UNC this weekend. Coach K coming up 9:30 Eastern. What version of Aaron Rodgers, by the way, could some team be getting? KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I just think Bryce Young has a chance to be spectacular. He's clearly going to be the better quarterback than Justin Fields long term. Justin Fields has a chance to be really good. You know, I'm concerned by his turnover proclivities. He has 140 sacks, turnovers, and interceptions in 2 years, only playing 27 out of 34 games. Bryce Young is small. You know, there's definitely concerns about him as well. But over time, to me, the better quarterback is going to be Bryce Young.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. With that, by the way,
I never ever, baby,
like diamonds and pearls.
I could it be what?
See, I'm old enough to remember the original "If I Ruled the World."
Yeah,
the kid who took my place was happy as could be. He was running his mouth like Muhammad Ali. Like I remember.
How long did it take you to memorize all those words?
Nothing. You just hear the song a million times, and you know, it sinks into your brain. And back then, the lyrics weren't that complicated. Yeah, you got it the first time, and you could hear every word. Back in my day. When Cool Moe Dee said something, when Curtis Blow said something, you could hear every word.
We played it on the record player.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, with us now. What's going on, Dan?
D.O.
What's up, dudes? How y'all doing?
Good. Better than Carson Wentz right now. Listen.
Leave him alone. Dan, why does he always feel the need to try to bring up Carson Wentz with you? Why?
We go back.
Because when you're wrong, you have to always try to prove that you were right, even though in the moment you were wrong. It's okay. We move on.
The right thing to say is because, like, if you wanted to say something like he's been wrong enough that when he's right, he wants to toot his own horn, that's fine. But come on. Dan's already giving it up. He's already given it up on this topic.
You know?
Listen, Dan, Mike Tannenbaum was on this very program moments ago, and he said, Bryce Young is by far better than Justin Fields. What do you think about that?
Oh, I disagree by far. Bryce Young's got special in him.
Hold on one second, Dan. Hold on. What was the wording, Jay?
No, he said clearly.
Clearly. Sorry, he said clearly. Clearly. Pardon, my fault. I just wanted to make sure.
I think if you just put up their tapes against each other and just watch their college production, you can make the case that that's an accurate statement. But the transitioning to the NFL matters, and it's a completely different world in the league than it is in college football. And the size thing is a reality that Justin has a massive benefit in. The long home run running ability that Justin has is a massive, massive advantage that he has. Here's what Bryce is. Bryce is everything that you want in a quarterback, but one thing. And that one thing is unlike anything we've seen, certainly in a long time. And that is a very fair conversation to be had, because you have to be okay with it. As an owner, as a head coach, as a general manager, you have to be okay with it. Now, the question that you have to ask yourself in relation to Bryce in comparison to Justin is, do we think that, or do you believe that Justin Fields is going to potentially fail in the NFL because he's too big or too small? Or because he can't play? Do you feel that Bryce Young could potentially fail in the NFL because he can't play, or is he too little? I think it's much more likely that Bryce Young fails in the NFL because he's too little, more so than he can't play. You know, what I'm trying to say is, like, he could play. There's no doubt that dude can flat out play. The question is going to be, and that's why it's so individualized, do you think that the size is going to become an issue or not? Because we've seen it. We've seen it with Baker. We've seen it with Kyler. The shorter quarterbacks that have been drafted, the smaller quarterbacks, and those guys are 20 pounds more, probably 15 pounds more, they've missed time because of injuries.
Dan, I've seen Tua, who's 6'1", 220, struggle.
Look small. Yeah.
Right? Look extremely small. So now you're asking me to put my faith with the number one pick in the draft, and I hear that he has all the tools. Someone who's 5'11", a buck 80, $185. Yep. Even if he puts on 10 pounds, I mean, what's really, even if he plays at 195, 15 pounds more.
It's a concern, Jay. And that's what I'm, and there's going to be teams, Jay, who'd be like, we're good with it. We're okay. But you gotta be totally okay with it and know that this could go bad. And it won't be because, you know, a lot of times you draft guys in the NFL, you draft quarterbacks in the NFL, and you're like, well, hopefully develops, hopefully pans out. Hopefully mechanically he can become a little bit better. And that's when you're like, all right. And if he doesn't, he's going to struggle. I don't feel that way about Bryce. That's my point. Like, I don't feel that Bryce 5 years from now or 6 years from now is not going to make it in the NFL because he can't play. If he doesn't make it, it'll be because of the size. And I posed this question the other day to our NFL live group. And no one's championing Bryce as a player more than me and Mike T. Find me the guy. Find me the guy that's playing at that level, that's that size. We haven't seen it. And
it doesn't mean there won't be a first. Doesn't mean there won't be a first. We just the odds don't look great. And it seems to me what Mike T is saying, Dan, is, to put it another way, you mentioned it earlier, is he will take the premium that he believes Bryce Young's skills give you over Justin Fields. He thinks that's enough of a premium to outweigh the risk of Bryce Young's size. And like, by the way, as you said, it depends on how you value those things and what you think the odds are.
Yeah, you've got to be okay with that.
Yep. How do you feel?
And I also think this too, like, we got to get a little bit removed from the, well, I'm going to reset the financial market for my quarterback. Mm. How'd that work out for the Jets?
Mm. Right. How do you feel about, speaking of markets, I mean, we had Chris Canty here saying that Aaron Rodgers will not fetch two firsts in a trade. How do you feel about where Rodgers stands right now with the Packers?
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is done with the Packers. And I feel like the Packers are done with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, his comments yesterday. And I feel like that's okay. It's time. It's time for both parties. And that's probably going to be something that's not going to happen just overnight when it comes to the emotions and the feelings. He's one of the greatest ever, certainly one of the greatest Packers ever. Just feels like it's time here. And Gutekunst, their general manager's comments about Jordan Love, it just feels like they both are ready to go their separate ways. I think if Aaron wants to keep playing football, which I do think he is going to do, those teams that are interested in having him play have to make it very clear. You're all in or you're not. You know, we want you, but not, we don't want 50% of you. You are going to be here, and you're going to be a part of our offseason program. Because here's the thing that's most important, us winning, not you playing well. And I know they go hand in hand, but it's not going to be just, hey, we're going to get Aaron to play well and that's it.
So, Dan, if you're another team and you're concerned about, you know, how much longer will Aaron Rodgers actually play?
Absolutely.
Is it a year? Is it 2 years? And if it's a year, maybe, you know, what kind of draft compensation or assets am I willing to give up if I don't have concrete evidence that a guy's going to be with me for more than a year?
Jay, I'm concerned with more than just that. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely, I'm concerned with that. But I'm concerned with, like, very few people know Aaron. Know him. Who am I bringing into my locker room?
Yeah, man.
Who am I bringing into my building? What Aaron Rodgers am I getting? We know that he's a little bit different, right? And that's fine. It's his life. But who am I getting? What am I getting? Especially if you're, you know, I started thinking about this, Jay, when I was watching. I think I was watching First Take, and I think it was J.J. Redick talking about the load management. And he was talking about how these younger players are coming into an NBA in a different culture. Like, and if you're a team like the Jets, who's got a lot of young talent, and you're trying to establish and grow and develop a certain culture, who are you getting that you are bringing into that culture that's going to have a significant part in establishing and or developing that culture? Yeah, there's a lot of questions and a lot of hesitations. Absolutely.
Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst. Thanks for taking the time, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dan.
When being top 15 all time, it's not only not good enough, but it lights a fire under you.
Really chaps my...
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Big Game Boomer, which is now apparently the definitive voice in deciding who are the greatest college point guards of all time. That's it. This is on the record now, Jay. This is part of your permanent record.
You're doing this to me.
100 greatest college point guards of all time. Of all time. I mean, kids are playing basketball, dreaming of playing in Division I, let alone being considered one of the greatest point guards of all time. And by far, the vast majority of the population is point guard size as opposed to power forward size, right? So from this enormous pool of potential talent, so few, such a tiny percentage ever get to play point guard in college in Division I, let alone be even considered for this list. So for many, it would be considered a great honor to be even considered on this list. Here's the top five. Magic Johnson. You okay with that, Jay?
I have no qualm with Magic Johnson.
Oscar Robertson.
Nope. No issue with Big O.
Pistol Pete Maravich.
He's Maravich. He was different.
He's different. Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, you can make a case. But, you know, since I went to Duke, he played there 4 years, all-time assist leader. You got it.
Steph Curry at Davidson, not the NBA Steph Curry. Now, LeBron did used to go watch him play in college and all that. He was a big deal.
I mean, Steph was prolific in college. I mean, the dude did end up with 2,600 points.
Oof. Was he the two-time player of the year?
No, he was not, okay. But he did end up with 2,635 points.
Yeah, that's a lot of
which
points.
Which in 3 years is very impressive.
Bob Cousy in his day? Okay, in his day?
He didn't really play.
Allen Iverson?
Any of us?
Allen Iverson?
Yeah. He was mean at Georgetown. Ooh. He's the one that made me want to go to Georgetown.
All right.
Jay, will you stop being so modest, Jay? This
what
is
are
ridiculous.
You talking about? I'm like Steph Giannis Curry on the
wait a minute.
Show
wait
right
a minute.
Now.
We're not up to. I think there can be arguments made.
I mean, I would give myself five over Steph Curry, frankly.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oof, I think he should be higher. I would.
All right. Now we get into interesting territory. For college, we're not just talking about college.
College, just college.
Gary Payton.
Can't do it. I love GPA.
You were a more decorated college player. Jameer Nelson.
Can't do it.
Chris Paul at Wake Forest.
Can't do it.
I agree. Not in college.
Can't do it.
They got Ty Law ahead of you.
Can't do it.
What?
I mean,
Jason Kidd?
Just let me give you one on Ty Law, okay? On Ty Lawson.
All right.
Because it's important. We say Ty Law football, right? Ty Lawson.
Right. Ty Lawson. Sorry.
Ty Lawson.
Pardon me.
Ty Lawson, okay, in points in his time. 1,375 points, mm-hmm. 608 assists, average 13 points per game, 5.8 assists per game, okay?
National titles?
Yep. National champion. I give it to him. Not national player of the year, national champion. All right. So me, in 3 years, 2,079 points, mm-hmm. 644 assists mm-hmm. in 3 years, okay? Average 19.5 points per game on 6.5 assists per game.
Also national champion.
Yeah, national champion, but two-time national player of the year.
Player of the year, yeah.
How's he ranked ahead of me? How is this possible?
Hmm.
I love Jameer Nelson, too, in 4 years.
Maybe if you had better football opinions, you'd
Nelson,
be higher on this list.
Jameer Nelson in 4 years, 2,094 points, 713 assists. He only scored 20 more points than me, and I did it in 3 years. He only scored 50 more assists than me, and I did it in 3 years. And I won a championship, and I got two-time National Player of the Year. How is he ranked ahead of me? Oh, I can go through the list now. I'm just saying, I'm not going to go hard at the list, but I'm going to go hard at the list. Because I don't know what we're looking at. I'm not trying to argue with the top four. Bob Hurley, cool, got it. Pete Maravich, cool, got it. Oscar Robertson, I ain't messing with the Big O. Mm-hmm. And I definitely ain't messing with Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But like Steph, I'm going to talk to Steph in college a little bit. I would go against Steph in college. I played in the ACC.
Here are the names that jump out to me where I think you have I don't think it's unreasonable to Allen Iverson or Bob Cousy in his day. Gary Payton, Jameer Nelson, Chris Paul,
can we talk
Ty
about quality
Lawson,
of competition
Jason
playing against
Kidd.
The Holy Cross as opposed to the ACC?
Let me ask you.
I mean, I went against Agent Zero in the national championship game.
Had you been ninth on this list, would you have a beef?
Yes.
At nine, you would have a
yes.
beef?
Yes. We going to do that with Bob Cousy and Holy Cross?
AI?
Oh, my brother, Brian Wilson, who played at St. Joseph's High School, went to Holy Cross. I got all the respect in the world. But like, let's not act like that league is on the same level as the ACC.
Right. You are facing
or the SEC.
Much better competition.
Or the Big 12. Right. Come on.
In other words, this is not like the numbers you put up, all that stuff, the individual accolades, the team success. It's all comparable at the top. So then it does become an issue of level of competition.
14?
Mm.
I'm 14?
Mm.
Calvin, 14? That's where we're going with this?
It's 14.
You enjoy it so much.
I think you should have been higher. I would have liked. I would have preferred if they would have put you ninth, because then it looks more reasonable, and that would get under your skin. Because I'd be sitting here going, I don't know, Jay, this guy and that guy, but I cannot justify 14.
I mean, I would say it directly to his face too, because this is how him and I are, mm-hmm. and I appreciate him. Mm-hmm. Like JJ Redick's the all-time leading scorer at Duke. Okay, mm-hmm. like I was 650 points off. Mm-hmm. Like I would have had that in the season.
Right.
Like, he would not have been the all-time leading scorer at Duke. I played 3 years. He played four. I'm just saying, it's like if, when you look
if
at
you
things,
were, if you were
just, in, let's call things for what they really are. If and you, I got a lot of respect and love, but like that's not, no.
If you weren't top five, but you were top 10, but you're not even top 10.
I'm not even top 10.
Barely squeaking into the top 15.
Who even made this list?
Geniuses somewhere.
Yeah. Big
the
game boomer.
Greatest
I need big game boomer on the show ASAP. On the show ASAP to explain himself.
You were a national champion. You were 2-time player of the year. You have all the stats, all the awards.
I'm not messing with Zeke. I'm not messing with Zeke. Zeke was, look, man, Billy Packer, God rest his soul. God bless his soul. Call me Isaiah in blue. Mm-hmm. It was one of the biggest compliments the world of basketball has ever given me in college. I'm not messing with Zeke. There's some other ones I want to rock with, though. I want to mess with.
I think, you know, when I looked up how many players have won the National Player of the Year twice, it's you may be the only non-center in the last however many decades who's done it twice. Everyone else is like 7 feet tall.
But you call me short, though, right?
No, I'm not calling you short.
Yeah, you call me short all the time.
No, I don't call you short. When do I call you short?
You play Kate off key and you just add on. You add
I
fuel to the fire.
I don't call you short.
Look at you.
You're taller than I am by a very little bit, probably.
See, there you go.
You're probably taller than me.
Are you 6 foot?
Probably.
Nah.
When Chris Canty yesterday called me 6 feet as an insult, I was so happy.
He thought he was insulting you. He gave you a compliment.
A real man is 6 feet and 200 pounds. I just came up short. What can I tell you? A big, these
boomer.
Rankings, by the way, the big game boomer, totally precise rankings, are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
We'll ask Coach K at 9:30. Who's a better point guard, me or Bobby
14.
Hurley? I need to hear Coach K talk about this.
You know what I think they did? They're smart.
They're smart?
Out of all those players, who is the most underrated?
Who is the most underrated?
You. They underrated you the worst. Who has the biggest platform? Out of everyone there, who has the biggest platform
why
in the media?
Did it.
They stuck you at 14 to trick us into talking about
that's
it, and
why
it worked.
They did it. Yeah, smart.
Who else is on a national show?
It was a criteria for the MVP. It's a moving goalpost. That's what it is.
It's smart.
I wonder what it is. What factors into the top 20 greatest point guards of all time in college?
Mike Krzyzewski is coming
rules.
Up at 9:30. Keyshawn, J. Will, and
Max. Not going to pull Jokic or me.
ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.